Blog Talk Radio.
Good music, Robert. What happened to our lead-in?
You love me, you hate me, you'll never forget me. Get ready to feel the...
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of the YRG Radio Roundtable. Today, my special guest host, who is taking the Yoga Doc spot this week, will be none other than Stacy Morris. And from what I understood, Rez was going to be in the YRG spot, the YRG co-host today, but we haven't got a call from him yet, so we'll see what happens there. Always got my girl Terry in the wings. I didn't think you were going to make it here tonight. Terry, you feeling better today?
I am feeling finally better.
Okay, very good. Very good. I want to get right into this today, and I want to tell you some of the exciting things that's happening with YRG Radio. Last weekend, I went to last Sunday, me and Marlon went down to the LA Boxing Gym, which is owned by my buddy Justin McCulley's brother. And Justin McCulley is, I just met him. He was a fan of mine and now become a good buddy. I met him through RVD, Rob Van Dam. And Rob said that Justin had been wanting to do YRG and he wanted to experience what this thing was all about. So, I went down there with Marlon and we filmed it. We got some awesome footage and Van Dam. Or RVD, as some of you know him as, he's the reason why I really decided to take Kim's advice and try the yoga, because without question, Rob was the most flexible guy in the business. And, he's only been hurt once. So taking that all into consideration, I'm like, okay, so we got an echo here. Is that happening to everybody?
Yeah, I hear Hello? It. I heard it.
What's happening with that? Oh, maybe it's my thing here. Okay, I can't do that. All right. How about now? A little better?
Better.
Yeah, we'll see for now. The bottom line is Van Dam actually inspired me to try to get as flexible as he was, which is next to impossible. Long story short, we went down there, and he loved the workout. Justin really loved the workout because of all the engaging. When you're doing dynamic resistance and you're engaging your muscles and your forearms, your biceps, your entire lower part of your body, it's the same thing they're doing when they're in a match for the UFC or Strikeforce or any of these mixed martial arts matches that they do. And he was explaining, and we got this all on video, which is going to be awesome for you to see, how he said how he would go to side mount a guy in a position, trying to put himself in a position where he could knock the guy out or choke him out or break his arm, not break his arm, but get him to tap out. He was engaging every part of his upper body because it was body against body, but he also had his legs spread out and he was on his toes, on the balls of his feet and his toes, and he was engaging his toes and his calves and his quads and his glutes. And he's explaining this to us as he's getting into the position and showing this is exactly what we do. For 3 5-minute rounds, or if you're in a championship match, 5 5-minute rounds. He goes, this is a phenomenal workout for anyone who's training to do any kind of mixed martial arts. I was like, wow, how much of a better endorsement could you get than that? So leaving there, and I had such a great time with RVD, very entertaining to interview, and then he interviewed me, and it was sort of like Marlon's got some great footage of us just talking about our careers and, you know, and just doing, following the dream. So what I decided to do, I asked Rob, because I've been on his show a bunch of times, and he's got a very colorful show, and he's another wrestler who he doesn't do wrestling shows. Nikki, you're on, right? Nikki, are you on? I guess not. Okay. Nikki works as a producer, and he doesn't do wrestling shows. He doesn't want even take wrestling questions. So he would be the perfect guy to bring over to here, because I don't mind asking a wrestling question here and there, but that's not what this show is. But for RVD, I'm going to bring him in, and you'll notice if you've got the email today, Stacy, and anyone who comes in as a co-host, I want them to pick the theme. And Stacy picked the theme of has ever got that car in the background? That's your, it's your phone.
sorry, Dallas, it's me.
Okay.
That's Rez. Sorry, buddy.
All right, well, good to have you there, Rez. Put your windows up in your car. but Stacy came up with the theme today of taking risks. And then I thought about – it was funny because as I was thinking about it, I was thinking of facing fears. And then it became down to taking risks and facing fears, because that's what you're doing. When you face your fears, you're taking a risk. So that is the theme for this show. Next week's theme is about – and Henry – Henry Dembski will be the my co-host, and that will be actually a pre-taped show, so it won't be live, but you could still go in the chat room and do whatever you're doing, because Robert will still be moderating everything. I thought I wasn't working this Thursday. I should say I thought I couldn't do the show this Thursday because my schedule is so crazy right now. But it's next Thursday, and I'd already asked everyone to come in and do the show. So we've got one in the can, and it'll be airing next Thursday, and that'll be all about emotional gravity and how to keep yourself motivated. All right, is that you, Arthur? Put you go into a room that's quiet, please. Next week's show will be all about emotional gravity and how to keep yourself motivated, how to reboot your brain, how to keep yourself from getting pulled down with negative energy. That will be next week's theme, and Henry will be my co-host on that. So this week, like I said, we're going to be talking about taking risks and facing fear. So, Stace, since you are our co-host here tonight, can you tell me what really brought that on? Where did that come from?
Well, I thought of it because it's something I just did yesterday in a really big way. I finally took that parasailing trip that I blogged about a couple months ago. And
what did that entail? Tell us about it, because I know about parasailing, but some people won't.
Oh. Well, I live near Lake George. It's a big 32-mile lake in the Adirondacks, and it's very touristy. And every summer, you know, you can pay money and hire somebody to take you out parasailing, which is you're kind of it's like a parachute, but you're anchored to a big motorboat, and you're kind of dragged along, but you're in the air, and it's kind of like parachuting, but
yeah.
you're attached to something, and this is also kind of hitting on another theme for me, which has just been like sitting on the sidelines for most of my life. And I first had the chance to parasail back in 1985. And that was actually after my first 100-pound weight loss.
Wow.
And I did it all just through sheer dieting. You know, I didn't do any inner work, and I didn't have really a lot of self-confidence. So I sat there while a friend of mine went up and had the time of her life. And, you know, I ended up feeling kind of down afterwards and disappointed with myself. And I've always wanted to do it. And then like 5 years ago, I had another chance on the Jersey Shore, and I was way too big. I mean, there was just no way.
What part of the Jersey Shore were you at?
Oh, it was, God, it was near Long Branch,
Okay.
Heather.
All right. Yep. I'm from Point
Wildwood?
Pleasant.
Wildwood.
Yep.
Wildwood.
Oh,
yeah.
So that's really south. That's
yeah.
a long way from Long Branch. Go ahead.
So, and again, I sat there looking up, you know, as other people are like taking this joyful, you know, trip up in the air. And so when I finally, you know, all these miracles happened and I dropped the weight and I met you and I had all this healing in my life, I thought, now that I can do it and I can physically do it comfortably, I'm going to do it. And so I did it yesterday. But the thing is, even though I was really looking, I was kind of looking forward to it, the entire day there was this quiet, you know, dread, this thing in my stomach. Because I don't like heights, and I don't like roller coasters, and basically I don't like risks, you know. And I thought, okay, this is just a celebration of a milestone. When I actually did it and had to physically face and mentally face all these fears, I realized I was really tapping into a reservoir of major deep stuff that I didn't even know I had there, and it all. You know, kind of goes back to, I'm doing a new blog about this on Hungry for the Truth. I don't want to give the whole thing away, but I start out in fifth grade when we're on a field trip and we're supposed to climb a mountain. And I'm this, you know, chubby kid, and I started to panic. And I thought, you know, what if I hold the group up, and what if I can't keep up, and what if I twist my ankle? And all these what ifs were going through my mind. And I panicked. And I didn't know what else to do, and I went up to the teacher, and I lied, and I said, I think I have a stomach virus. I need to go back to the nurse's office, and, you know, I'm going to throw up. Even though that was a complete lie, I just had to get out of there, you know, like I couldn't. And looking back, probably nothing horrible would have happened, but it's what we do to ourselves, you know, what we tell ourselves might happen. Create these scenarios, and they're worse than what the reality usually ever is.
You're absolutely right.
Hey, Rez, do you guys have a TV on in the background?
No, you know, unfortunately, Dee, I'm actually in a restaurant. I'm sorry. I'm not to my hotel room yet. So let me get a little bit outside. I'm sorry. Is that better?
Not really.
Is that getting
Rez.
A little bit better?
Right.
Not really?
Okay.
Well, I tell you what, I could call back in. I will be in my hotel in about 15 minutes.
That's cool, Rezzy. No problem, baby.
Will that be cool? How about I call back in then?
You got it, babe.
All right, buddy.
All right. Okay. So I knew that was Rez. Okay. So I want to touch on a couple things you just said there, Stace. For starters, anyone who's listening and doesn't know about Hungry for the Truth, Stacey writes a really awesome blog. And if you're about weight loss, and that's one of the reasons why you come to this show and listen to what we have to say to keep you inspired, motivated, whatever, you need to subscribe to Hungry to the Truth, because she writes beautifully, but she has great recipes on there, and she's funny. So and fun. So I think you get a real kick out of it. So go to Hungry to the Truth. Is that what it is? HungryToTheTruth.com?
I think if you Google it, it's a big long thing with my name and Blogspot and Hungry for the Truth. It's kind of complicated, but if you Google Hungry for the Truth, you should find it.
Okay, cool. And one of the things you said about what ifs, what if this happens? What if that happens? And, I mean, and it's right, what we tell ourselves. I saw a statistic, and I wish I would have written it down, what study actually said it, but there was an actual study done by some university or whatever, and they came up that 70% of the things we worry about never happen. 70. Think about that. 70% of the things are happening. So go ahead, Stace. I don't want to interrupt you. I just want to point that out there.
Well, so because I've had this lifelong pattern of doing this, and you know all these the weight changes I've had are just really kind of symptomatic of all my emotional changes. So I'm a different person, and I can no longer do what I used to do. I can no longer, you know, see a challenge that I want to do and back down from it. Even though yesterday I was terrified, and
were you breathing?
I was breathing, but you know my pattern is when I don't hyperventilate when I get nervous, I start talking a lot, and I'm a pretty quiet person. And I just started asking the staff, you know, when I got there, a million questions because I really, I had adrenaline to burn, you know?
Right,
and then
right.
When I got in the boat, there are these three muscle-bound guys with their mirrored sunglasses and we're riding
out. Wait, let me get this right. You were on the Jersey Shore. Oh, it's actually, it wasn't Jersey Shore. Because then I would see all the muscle-bound guys.
No, this is Lake George. But these guys, you know, they didn't really give off the friendliest vibe, you know, and I was still very nervous, so I was shouting at them because the noise with the waves. And I said, "Listen, I just want you to know something. I'm here because I lost 156 pounds, and I'm doing something that I never could have done before. And I just want you to know this is not an ordinary parasail ride. This is a sacred ceremony." but that's how I felt. You know, that was really what it was for me. And I had two friends with me on the boat who. One photographed it and the other videotaped it. And
you got to put a piece of that up on Team YRG.
Oh yeah, definitely. So as it got closer and closer out to the middle of the lake, I was really getting scared. But again, because I don't know, my mindset has changed along with a lot of other things. That you know, backing down wasn't an option. And I think when I just realized I'm going with it, and I stopped. There was no arguing. There was no what ifs. I just said, I've got to trust now. And what this really tapped into was, I don't like being out of control. I don't like being the one who's going to decide how things turn out. Or you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, so I had to just completely. It wasn't just the guys driving the boat. I had to trust. I had to trust nature.
Right.
Because thunderstorms were just about to roll in.
Oh, beautiful.
Part of me wanted them to roll in so I wouldn't have to do it. So I got up there. I got up there, and, you know, it was actually not as scary lifting off. It was very slow and very gentle. But the scary stuff came when I was up in the air because of the storms that were approaching. Every now and then a gust of wind would come. And
sure.
It was a really humbling lesson. It was like, you know, you're really just, in terms of the wind and its power, you're a piece of dust, you know?
Yeah.
that's really what it boils down to. And I was not expecting that lesson, but it was a good one for me. And, you know, I would love to give it like a glossy Hollywood ending and say that I totally enjoyed the experience, but I was scared. And I was very glad to come down. I would probably never do it again, but I'm telling you, the feeling of complete exhilaration afterwards when I was on the ground, it was really great.
Oh, that's the finishing of the goal, and that's the whole thing. It's like, you know, you set that goal, and whether it's for school or a job or weight, you know, weight number, you know, once you hit that goal, you're so exhilarated, but how do you stay exhilarated? Well, then you got to set that next goal. Have you thought about what that is?
Yeah, I have. Now, my friends who are into photography and video, they want to do a series or something on me, of like what I'm doing next. You know, what my next challenge is, and they want to videotape it.
That's great. So, well, that's great.
Yeah, the next one is they're both rowers. You know, they scull. And that's another thing I've always wanted to do. But, you know, those boats are like, you know,
yeah.
A foot wide. And I was never, you know, comfortable with the idea of attempting it. So that's next. Maybe horseback riding, because I was thrown from a horse when I was a kid and never got back on. But, you know, little things along the way. Like 6 months ago, you're not going to believe this. I was once afraid to get on a treadmill. That's how afraid I am of being out of control. It's like, I don't want the treadmill to be in control. You know, I want to be in control. But that was actually a fear I had to, like, face. That was as big for me as getting on a horse.
Wow.
I did it. Yeah.
Well, you know, and that's what this show's all about. And, you know, and I want to hear some, you know, some other people, what their fears are, or, their, you know, thing that they've taken risk or what they haven't done yet. Like, just to give you some of the, like, two of the things, because when you sent that to me, I said, okay, so what are some of the fears or the risks I've taken? And some of them are really risky. But the first one was like height, with you know, for heights. I was scared of heights when I was younger. And I climbed up. My brother just told me the other day that they tore down this water tower, and me and my buddies had climbed it. And we were 12. We climbed this water tower. I was scared shitless. But I had to prove myself. I'd get up there. And, of course, when I got down, I got arrested. Then you arrived, we got arrested. We got taken home by the cops, you know. But they made us feel at 12 years old we were being arrested. That was my first, you know, association with that. I didn't like that at all. That scared me more than being at the top of the tower. But it still didn't really cure me. And then I went to the next thing, which was just what you did, power sailing. And at the time, I was with this girl, and we were, like, tandeming. So she was, like, over me. So she was, like, sitting on me. And you couldn't really be scared there, but I was, but I didn't sell it. And I was like, wow. But once you got up there, you're right, it was fun. And I didn't have the storm clouds or anything, but, you know, coming down, I was more worried about coming down and getting hurt or something, because, you know, they're just – I know one buddy of mine who was coming down and was getting to catch a girl, and the wind caught her right before he got to the end, and it sent her going forward, and his name was Brutus Beefcake. He was a wrestler, and the knee went right through his face. Not the person who's in the parasail, but the other one. And if I told you that story, you probably wouldn't have gone out there and done that yet, but you've already got that one. You already got that out of the way. But Brutus had to have, like, oh, my God, total reconstruction of his face. And now he looks freaking 20 years younger than he is, because he had such great face work done back then. But you don't have control of it, and you do put your faith in certain things. But I got to tell you, the place that actually cured me of the height thing, and what it was Eric Bischoff said to me one day. I was over his house, and he said, what we're going to do is we're going to have you go out and beat on Savage in the middle of the NWO. And anybody who's a wrestling fan knows that they beat up everybody. And I would go out there and take on all of them. And eventually Hogan will knock you with the belt to the floor, but Sting will drop from the rafters. And he would literally come down on a harness out of the rafters, 100 feet in the air, and we were in the Boston Civic Center, the brand new Fleet Center. That's the Fleet Center that they have up there. And he was going to grab me. He said, you're going to put your arms around him, and you're both going to go up in the air. And I knew he was full of shit, but I knew I had to have something better than that, me putting my arms around him when we go up in the air. And he goes, so what do you think about that? I said, sure, I'll do it. You know, but I'll say that about anything in the beginning, and then let me work my way up to it, knowing that I wasn't going to just put my arms around him. So I get the TV that day, and they come out there, and they go, okay, Diamond, we got this harness for you. And they put me in this harness, which, you know, it's like an incredibly strong and really tight, almost like a bustier. What do girls wear when they tie them with the ropes?
Corsets.
Yeah, it's like a corset. It's like a corset, and I would wear the jacket over it so you couldn't see it. They put a hole in the jacket, and that there would be a hook out the middle of, you know, it would be out there in the middle of my back. And Sting's going to drop down, going to hook you up, and we're going to lift you up with him, like riding you. So we're going to lift, you know, technically 500 pounds up into the air. So I went down there. I put the thing on. You know, I'm really working on my breathing, because breathing is, like I've told you all, it is so pivotal. So they hook me up. I'm on the ground. Diamond, we're going to lift you up 10 feet, and then we're going to stop, and then we're going to see how that feels, then lift up another 10, and then we're going to pull you up from there. I said, no, just put me in a thing, lift me up 10. Boom, they lift me up 10. They go, okay. I said, okay, that's enough. And they go, what do you mean? I go, I'm a red light guy, man. They go, well, don't you want to try it? I said, nope. So they put me down, and I swear to God, I wasn't nervous at all, because for some reason in my head, I literally, you know, I felt like I was going to be okay. And I walked to the back. I did all my stuff I had to do, and now it's showtime. It's ready to go. And as I'm getting ready to walk out there, to run out there and get, you know, the NWO, and, you know, they're not even out there yet. We're just sitting in our little spot behind the curtain. Hulk walks up to me, and he says, "You scared?" I said, "Nope." He said, "You're a damn liar." I said, "No, I'm not." I said, "No, I'm not, bro." I said, "I honestly feel I'm going to be okay." I said, "But if I'm not..." Now, remember, this was before Owen Hart, because there was really no drop from the sky after that. But I actually said to him, "If, you know, if something's to happen to me, I'll be the James Dean of wrestling." And that's really what I thought, because that where my character was at that point in my career in 1997, this Diamond Dallas Page character came out of nowhere. You know, year before was, you know, or 2 years before that was voted Most Improved Wrestler, but really came out of nowhere to be in this main event status, taking on the most powerful group in wrestling, which was the NWO, technically, over WWF, over everybody. And I really felt like if that was my time and that's what's going to happen. Like when I go to Iraq and Afghanistan, don't think I was scared over there. Going before I went there, breathing through it, and then getting right in my head, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. This is in God's hands. And that's where I really become spiritual and say, this is in God's hands. So now let's go to what's really happening. I go out there. I attack Savage. I'm kicking the shit out of him. And Hogan comes over and hits me with a belt. I go through the ropes to the floor. Sting drops for the bottom. Now, here's what's supposed to happen. No one is supposed to be, you know, attacking Sting. He's got his bat. He's going to hook me and we're going to go. But no, that's not what happens, because people forget what the script is. And they start attacking Sting. He's like, "What are you doing?" Bang, and hit the guy with a bat. "What are you doing?" Bang, hitting him with a bat, hitting him with a back. Now my breath goes from totally in control to... And I literally, now my chest is caving in because this thing's so tight, and my breath is breathing in and out like a friggin' scared rabbit. And then I went, oh my God, what are they doing? What are they doing? I'm supposed to be attacking him. And my mind started to totally screw with me. And then I went, stop. And Sting grabbed me, picked me up, and hooked me. I said, breathe. I took two deep breaths, and I swear to you, the nerves and everything calmed down, and we started going up. And we're going up 100 feet. And I'm hanging there like a hot dog, and Sting is sitting over me like I'm a horse. As we take off up into the rafters, and the people are screaming so loud, and my eyes are closed, like closed, closed, closed. And I figure, you got to open your eyes. You got to open your eyes. You're never going to see this again. And I opened them. And also, it was like, wah, and the arms waving. People were going crazy. We get up all the way to the cat ramp. I grab it, pull myself over like a cat trying to get out of a tub, fall upside down, and Sting's still hanging there with a white light behind him. And I looked at him and I went, geez. You really are Batman. And that cured my fear of heights. And so it might take you a little bit longer, Stace, on that thing, because now I will purposely walk to the edge of something and look over like, you don't own me anymore. And the other thing that's taken risk was reading for me. I mean, people who know, listen to the show, they know I was reading at a third grade level at the age of 30, growing up with ADD and dyslexia. The first time, I'm going to tell you what I was scared to death, reading to kids. The first time I read aloud, since trying to read aloud in, you know, whatever it was, third, fourth, fifth grade, I never let it happen after that. You know, just I went to the bathroom, I got in trouble, I got sent to the principal's office. There was no way you were going to get me to read out loud. So it's sort of what you did, Stace, you know, where you're like hoping, you know, you made excuse for yourself and got out of there. I got myself in trouble. That's what I did. And here I am, 41 years old, winter of 97, and I'm doing this charity, Toys for Tots for Kids, because we used to do it at my house, and it got so huge, I decided before it ruined my house to take it to a nightclub, and we did it there, and we got like, I don't know, 1,000 toys. And I read to these kids, and not an easy book to read, Dr. Seuss's book, The Grinch That Stole Christmas. And I actually had Kim read half of it. Like, I read a page and she read a page. And I read a page and she read a page. The next time I did it, I read the whole book myself. But it was that intimidating. I was literally scared shitless before I went out and read these little kids. And it went great. But it's facing your fears. And it gave me the power to get stronger and believe more in myself. So, That's all my stuff. So I'm really excited that you brought that up. And before we get in a little bit farther, because I want to get into this and get into Rez on this, we do have a question. You know, if you ask a question, if you write down it in the forum, we'll answer it. And what I'm going to do is start to answer that before I take calls and all that. So if you put in the questions ahead of time, we will answer them. And this comes from Diane. She says, I'm a new member and proud to be so. My question is, what is the best way to handle late night snacking? I sent Stacy an email just a few minutes ago, asked her, and she said she was going to be on the radio tonight. This problem seems to be the most difficult obstacle of all in my pursuit of healthy living. Help, help, help. So I'm going to throw that right over to Stacy first. And since we got Terry here, I'm going to go take it to Terry right after that. So, Stacy, what's your answer to that question?
Okay. Well, I don't know if I'm the best person on this because it's never been a big problem for me. You know, it just never has. But I also how I have a policy of not being too overly strict with food.
Right. Yep.
One thing I decided to be strict on was to not eat after dinner, you know, because I'm just not doing anything physically. So, I mean, that's one thing I'm able to be strict on, and I just generally don't do it. But this is what I do sometimes. Like after dinner, I don't have a big sweet tooth, but sometimes I crave sweets at the end of a meal. So I go out and I get sugar-free chocolate-covered peanuts or raisins, and I have one, you know, and I let it
melt. How many?
That's willpower.
I have one.
How many?
But that's the thing. It's a spiritual exercise. Now I'm echoing.
Okay.
Because I let it melt and it takes time, it does take a minute or so, I get that flavor and I get that taste. And if I really stop and think about it, I've gotten the taste, and that's enough.
Okay, we got the echo.
How does that happen?
I didn't know it didn't happen.
I wonder if Rez brought it back with him.
I think he did. Rez, hang up and call back.
Shit. Okay, guys. Sorry.
Hang up, Rez. Okay, Stacy, talk.
Okay. Now I think
it's Rez again. Hey, Robert, when he calls, make him call on a landline. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
But I would say, you know, I'm not recommending. That works for me. But if you really, you know, feel like you're being cheated and you're not having something to eat at night, you know, don't do that or it's not going to work long term. But try to pick something that's going to have low impact, you know, that's not terribly caloric, but it still tastes good to you. I mean, only you know what you really like and don't like. So, you know, you've got to sort of play around and see what feels right for you.
What about you, T?
I don't usually snack at night. I think it's because the time I get done massaging, my dinners are later than I would like them. So I'm full in the evening, and I don't stay up that late. But I would have the reverse trouble, like in the day, between massages, and I'm always at home. And so I'm around the food I have. So I have to set some boundaries on that. Usually if other people go to an office, you just don't have the access that I do. And so I just have to be aware of how much I'm eating. But if I'm hungry, I've learned to know the difference between hungry. If I'm hungry, I'm going to eat something, fruit, juice, something like that. If I go to the refrigerator or the pantry and I'm just kind of opening the door going, what's good? I'm not really hungry. And then I usually say something to myself like, okay, what's on your mind, girl?
Okay, this is one of the things that, you know, and it's, for me, it's not about losing weight, but it's about, because certain times I'm trying to get really lean for photo shoot or whatever I'm going to do, and here's things that I do. For starters, I drink water with fruit in it. And when I say fruit in it, it might be lemon, it might be lime. If you take cucumbers and slice them up and put them in purified water and stick them in the refrigerator, they taste amazing. And sometimes I'll take like some strawberries and some oranges and whatever and throw them in with some water and just, you know, just a purified water thing and then drink that. That tastes great. That'll help you. And there's different water flavors. I wish I would have had a bottle here in front of me, but Angie gets these ones that are like, there's one that's a chocolate mint, and it supposedly has nothing bad in it. I look at the label. So
I had some coconut chocolate mint water.
Oh, it was delicious.
Exactly.
It was really, really, really good. Another thing is some kind of gum. You know, I try to find a gum. The gum that's got the xylitol in it, as opposed to the other sweeteners. But as opposed to being sugar gum, but having some kind of gum. Another thing is flavored tea. Tea is phenomenal with a little agave in it. And I don't mean just regular tea. I'm talking about like there's one that's called a vanilla roasted hazelnut tea that I brought with me to Afghanistan. That and agave, and I brought. They actually had a little USO place there. That's a place called Bagram, and that's like the place everybody flies into, and then they take their helicopters to wherever they're going in Afghanistan, which is a real hellhole. And it's when I went there, it was freezing. So having that tea, you know, and being in that place, it looks like it's the only place that looks like home because it's like a chalet that they built, the USO built there. It's pretty cool. Having that tea late at night was very satisfying because you'd get hungry over there and there wasn't, you know, you had the PX food and that was pretty much it. They had garbage, but I wasn't going to eat those donuts and that shit. So my tea was a great savior. So I hope that answers your question. And if there's anybody else who has an answer to that question, as we go on tonight, you can call in and you can give your answer to what you think it is. So do we have Rez back on the phone?
No, he called in and he got dropped again. We actually have Diane. I guess she has a follow-up question to her original one.
Oh, hey, Diane. How are you?
Well, I'm doing just great. The only thing I've got to tell you is I think I must be the only person in the world who does late-night snacking.
No, that's not true.
It seemed like Stacy didn't have a problem, and I'm like, you know, I work very, very hard all day long. Then my girlfriend and I go to the gym 3 times a week for 3 hours. And so that's why I'm so glad to get with YRG because I'm hoping it'll cut that time down.
Yeah.
But I definitely know the one thing I have a problem with is late night snacking because I am a night owl and I come home and I've been busy all day and I worked out for 3 hours and I come home and I finally get to sit down and relax and I guess that's when it hits me. And I know you shouldn't eat late at night. And I'm like, I just want a snack. And I know it's not good to eat fruit, you know, late at night. So I just don't know what's the best thing
we'll
to do.
We'll try. Just, you know, try some of the suggestions that I gave you there as far as, you know, as far as trying some gum. Try that. Try some of these flavored waters that they're, you know, some of them are really, really good. Or you can make your own. Like I was saying before, if you just put – I would never have thought that cucumbers and water would taste great, but I was at a spa. And I was getting, you know, I was someplace in Mexico, and I was at this spa, and, you know, I was really thirsty, and I figured, oh, God, what's that going to taste like? It's like, oh, my God, that's so refreshing. So it's putting, like, you know, fruit in there, and it makes, you know, it's without getting all of the sugars, but you're getting some of the taste. And the other thing, and some of these flavored teas, go, like, if you, I don't know if you have a Whole Foods there or some kind of healthy place.
Let me tell you, Doug, I absolutely adore Doug Steffen. Oh, let me tell you, he is totally awesome. He has taken me under his wing. I was so excited to find out there was somebody so into the program that was local. He sent me an email and said, oh, my God, I just realized you're from Canyon Lake. He's right down the street from me, literally. I mean, you know, like we're talking 20 miles, and when you're in Texas, that's right down the street.
Yeah, right, right.
And he has helped so much. I mean, he's told us about Whole Foods. I met him there last weekend. I brought another friend with me who's fixing to order the YRG tapes tonight. And she's going with me this weekend to meet with Doug. He's the one who got my pictures for me, posted them for me, because I'm, you know, I don't know anything about computers. He has helped me with everything. It's amazing. He is amazing. And so he's helped a lot by taking us to Whole Foods, and he's going to take us again. And so I'm learning a lot more about, you know, different types of eating I haven't done before. I've always had really good eating, but I found out I wasn't eating enough of the right foods often enough.
Right, right.
You know, and because the metabolism thing, it was slowing down. So I'm finding out about that, and I've never done the, what is it, Whole Foods we're getting?
Oh, the gluten-free.
The gluten-free and the organic. So I've never been there before. So this is a new... Yes, so this is something new that we're doing, and we're really excited about it.
That's great. Doug, hold me. Doug, are you on the line here?
No, he said he's calling in, but he hasn't showed up yet.
Okay, he will eventually. But you're like a messenger for, you know, like an angel for him on the other side of it, because he wants to become YRG certified, and so do a bunch of people. And I am going to put that up there this week. I've just put up so much stuff. I didn't want it to get lost in the shuffle of how to get YRG certified. And Doug has already started the procedure, but I told him the fastest way is to find someone and help train them.
It is obvious he is so into it, and I told him I've been trying to find somebody to help, help me get through certain things. And I go to the gym, and they're fabulous. Don't get me wrong; they've been a great help, but I haven't been seeing enough results. And when I saw and read about YRG, I said, oh, my God, this is for me. And once Doug and I met, we knew we were a match because I am so, oh, yeah. When I put my mind to something, I told him, when I want something, by God, I get it. And I'll do whatever it takes. I don't have one of the things I was listening to y'all about the fears and things like that, facing fears. I honestly have to say, I've never been that way, so I don't know what that is. It's when I want something, I go after it, and I may not get it the first time around, but I go back, and I go back, and I go back. And it's the same thing with my weight issue. You know, I'm healthy as can be. My doctors are pleased with all the numbers, but I'm not pleased with the outside. I said, I'm glad they're happy with the inside. I want the outside to match the inside.
That's
and
so
I
funny.
Think y'all's, your plan is going to do it.
Well, it's all about, and there you go. That's it. It's all about that attitude. And it sounds like to me, once you reboot your brain on that whole thing about eating late, because
right.
It is about like rebooting your computer, rebooting your brain, reprogramming yourself. You know, I'm 54 years old, so I remember Lily Tomlin on Laugh-In, and. Yeah, she was so funny, and she'd be called the ringy dingy operator. She'd be that old school operator. She had all those cords sticking into the, going through different lines for different phone calls, and to me, that's what this is all about. It's all about pulling all those cords out and replugging them in the way you want them to be, because we're so self-conditioned in this country, for starters, to say milk is good for you. Just look, every superstar in the world has a ring of lip, a milk on their lip. Milk is good for you. Bullshit. No, it's not.
Right.
And wheat is the number one, and I'm not the wheat Nazi anymore, because I'm trying to make it so, because certain people can eat wheat. Certain people can eat plastic. It just so happens that people who are have a tendency to be overweight or carry that extra 30 to 40 pounds that they can't get rid of, or go to 50 or 60 or 100, they have a problem with it. It's the skinny people who don't. So I'm not talking to them. You know,
I know,
I'm talking.
Right?
Yeah, so it's about reprogramming your brain. But our country, one of our biggest things that we sell is wheat. We are the biggest supplier in the world of wheat. So they're never going to let it get out that it's not good for your body. But if you look at the other two-thirds of the world that eats rice, like let's think China, Japan, all those Asian countries, are there any fat people who are overweight there at all? Yeah, I mean, what's
I know,
in a blue
right?
moon? Yes, but they eat rice. They
That's
eat
right.
rice. So it's all about rebooting your brain and start and write it. And, you know, write it down. You know, I'm not going to feel like this. I don't have a problem. If you say it 10 times a day, I don't have a problem with late night snacking anymore. This is never going to be a problem for me again. And if you keep programming it into your brain, it's like my whole concept. Have you gone to the Live Life at 90% section I put up there for people to get from Team YRG?
I have not done that yet. Where do I go to do that?
You go to DDP's blogs, and it'll either be on the first page or the second page, and it'll say Living Life at 90%. Load it down. It's a free video I sell on my site. If you're not a member of Team YRG, you pay $20 for it. If you're a member, you pay nothing. Go there, load it down, and watch it with your girlfriend.
Okay.
And you might want to watch it a couple of times because, like anything, repetition is the mother of learning. The
you
more
know how I forgot that, I don't know, because one of the things I'm into is anything spiritual, positive thinking. I go to Simple Truths. I buy a lot of books like that. I've always been into things like that, and it tells you all the time. You have to tell yourself over and over again, whatever message it is you want to do, don't tell yourself you can't do something because you can't. And so how the heck I forgot that when it came to this late-night snacking, you know, I don't know. But you're right. I never thought about that.
You
know, I don't know how, but I forgot.
One of the things I want you to say, because certain people, I hate that when you know, people say, oh, you're right, I know you're right, because I deal with a lot of my you know family members, you're right, I know you're right. It's no, I'm not right. Do you understand? Because if you understand, then you don't do it, then you're wrong. It's not I'm right. You know, and people really don't want to be wrong.
I know that.
You know, so do you understand?
Oh, I definitely understand.
There you go. That's all that matters. And that's another reconditioning of your brain, reprogramming of your brain to understand something as opposed to saying, oh, God, he's right. Don't you ever get sick of being right? No, I don't ever get sick of being understood.
Oh, and, that's pretty good.
And learning, you know, constantly learning, you know. So is Dougie on the show? Did he ever come on?
Yeah, I'm on here.
Hey, Dougie.
Oh, hey, Doug.
Hey, everybody. Yeah, I'm gonna work with Diane on tomorrow night. Actually, she's coming here and on Saturday. So I'll sit down and we'll probably watch the Living Life at 90% and do our workouts and everything else.
That's great, that'd man.
Be great.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay, so. Stacy, since we don't have Rez on here.
Oh, as a matter of fact, I just got done talking to Rez. Also, he apologizes. He kept trying to call in on his cell phone. He didn't make it to his hotel yet, so he's not going to make it back there in time. So
That's okay. We've got a good group of people right in here right now. So Stace, tell me what else is on your mind? What else you want to? Bring out there. Anything you got off the top of your head?
No, I'm just, you know, I'm thinking about my next challenges, which are rowing and possibly horseback riding, and I'm going to tape them. I'm a videotape junkie now.
Well, it's, you know, first person to ever tape everything was Arthur, and God, I wish you would have taped. You know, I could convince people enough of that. Looking back now, wouldn't you have videoed your entire journey? Would you?
I would have, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Ahead.
So anyone who's listening to this, if you're just starting out, videotaping where you are and what you're doing in the beginning. Like there's a couple like Judy Davis I know is doing it and Michael Gallianos who is down, by the way, down 72 pounds, I think in the first 4 months here. You know, he was 5'4", 377 pounds, and he's down to I think 302 or something, and continuing his journey. He's in Greece right now, and he's been taking a picture along with so is Judy Davis and a couple other people too, of themselves every day. every single day taking a picture of themselves. So when you get from that spot to where you're going, those pictures could be really entertaining. You know, watching, because it's in the same, doesn't have to be in the same spot, just the same picture, wearing different clothes or whatever. But then you just run them in a videotape one after another, and it looks amazing to watch, you know, what happens.
Dallas, those pictures are great years later, because I keep them all in a picture board in my gym, because every day when I get on the mat, I look over there and see the pictures of who I was as I was losing weight, and every year after that, or maybe in between too, because it reminds me why I step on the mat and where I came from and where I want to be and where I want to stay. And so I use those pictures every day.
Yeah, and that's why I tell, I mean, there's, it's the only canned thing you get from me, meaning that it's something I cut and paste and I send it to, and I put, hey, bro, or hey, buddy, depending whether it's male or female that I send it to, is the first response when you first get there. But I actually take the time to cut and paste and put it up there. And I tell you, it's the last thing you're going to get like this from me. But I really want people to take the pictures. Even if they don't put them up, at least take them. Because at some point, if you stick with it and you put the work in, you're going to be so happy that you did. And, you know, we've got a lot of people who are having amazing results. Let me tell you something that just happened, which is really cool. Really excited about this. This is, we had a, let me see if I can find a email. Got an email sent to, it's called Molten. And Molten is the company that distributes YRG to everybody, and we got this video, this email from this gentleman, who his name is Danny Hodge, and he is the safety officer with the Oklahoma City Fire Department, and he said he talked to the fire chief, and he wanted to get a price on like 40 sets, because from what I understand, there's like 44 precincts in the city of Oklahoma City, and one of my buddies who you've all worked out with, if you've done Below the Belt, you've worked out with Jimbo Patterson, and he is a firefighter who didn't become a firefighter till he was 35 years old. And one of the reasons why we have such a great connection and bond, I didn't become a wrestler till I was 35 years old. So for him coming into the fire department at that age, you know, people just don't do that. And he's going to be one of our YRG team members to come on here and tell you his story. But the bottom line is, Jimbo's actually going to, he looked it up. He said, dude, they have 44 precincts. He goes, that's like almost as big as New York City. So what we're going to do is, let me see what he went put. He wrote here, I see every injury report that's filed out of our fire department, and many are strains and sprains dealing with picking up objects and injury victims. I think the firefighters would be apt to try stretching exercises, and he put parentheses yoga, from someone who was a professional wrestler. And then he goes on to say, I purchased a copy of the videos myself, and I have to admit they are an excellent workout to help me with my back, my legs, and virtually my whole body. I have also lost 30 pounds due to the fact that I get my cardio in every day. And he says he's all fired up, and he's gone from 195 to 165 in 5 to 6 months. Yahoo! So the bottom line is, this guy Danny, he's not even part of Team YRG. I don't know how we missed him on Team YRG, but we are going to get him over here and get him on the site. And then what I'm going to do is fly out there and work out with the fire department. How cool would that be? And then have Jimbo, he wants to come with me. So I said, you fly yourself out, dude. You come with me and stay with me. And, you know, we'll have a good old time, because nobody knows firefighters better than he does. And pretty cool rub all the way around. So I'm excited about that. So, Terry, you got any news for us today?
News? Just dropped the phone. I don't think so. Well, actually, I did I did have an experience in Chicago because I was ill after eating some gluten. I'm a person that's not I'm not just choosing to not eat gluten. I cannot have it. And I've been eating so clean, and you know how picky I am, and people call me the food Nazi as I watch how everybody makes foods around me and such, but just a little bit of some type of gluten slipped in my food, and I was sick for days. And so pardon?
Hey, T, before you go on that, tell them, like, you never thought you had a problem with wheat, right?
No, I never knew that I did.
And
surprised. I knew about celiacs, and the common celiac has, like, an irritable bowel and those kinds of symptoms. So it never...
What are some of the symptoms, that besides feeling bloated?
That's a huge one. And people with a lot of belly fat often... That, like you said, in the weight, because that's where you carry it, is often a symptom of gluten. And you can be a celiac, or you can just be gluten intolerant without the celiac piece. But some of the symptoms would be the bloating, the weight gain. If you're having any bowel symptoms like irritable bowel, Crohn's disease, diarrhea, pain, reflux is a common symptom of gluten problems. So,
and rashes, right? Like people
and a big one for me was the eczema, the eczema on your. It can be on knees, elbows, around
Explain
that area.
Explain what eczema is for the normal human being. What does eczema mean?
Eczema, I guess it would be rash-like, but it's a little bit more poxy, deeper, bloodier. You know, rashes are small, but eczema is like scaly, itchy, and you'll scratch it and it kind of bleeds.
Mm.
And your doctors will want to give you ointment to figure, you know, to make it go away. When it's coming from the inside, it's that poison is so oozy, it's coming out. And it's a sister to herpes in that way. It's called herpes piriformis, but it's a specific type of eczema.
By the way, anybody who's listening who doesn't know, Terry is not just a massage therapist, she is also a full RN. She knows a lot more than a lot of doctors. And as she went through this journey, the doctors told you what?
They told me I had asthma from the pneumonia, which was probably so. They told me for about 6 years the eczema was probably just massage because all those hairy men and women who kind of tear up my forearms because it stayed only on my forearms. And if I would go on vacation, it'd go away. And then it got so it never went away, et cetera. Everything I had, they thought I was fine. And what I had was hidden issues. I had no vitamin D. Literally, my blood count was about 13, which then led
to
the osteoporosis.
To be? What's it supposed
to be like 70, 80.
Yeah, 70, 80. Yeah. You were 13. So
I was almost off the scale. The other thing that was somewhat surprising is my triglycerides were like so low. I know most of you would hate me for that because most people battle that. But they were running like 30. My doctor was so excited, and when I told Bernadette, she was horrified because that means the liver's not processing fats. So I should be in the 60s or 70s. That's a healthy normal. I run the other way. And so when I wasn't feeling so good here a couple months ago even, the immune system was kicking back on my triglycerides that got up to like a nice normal, like 57, 60. They've plummeted back to like 30-something. So that means something's going on or whatever. But it's all these odd things, and I was anemic. I mean, nobody was catching this because when my doctors look at me, they go, "You look great for your age. Just get
used to it." Wait. What does anemic mean to the layman out there? What does anemic mean?
Sorry about that. I taught nurse. An iron count. I was iron deficient.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so gluten inside people's bodies, besides the colon and the gas, the diarrhea, the bloating, can cause all these autoimmune diseases like asthma. It can cause anemia, which I had. It can cause, for women, we have to be very suspicious of osteoporosis and osteopenia because the gluten damages the little villi in the colon. And those villas, what absorbs all the minerals, the vitamins from your foods. If you don't have a colon that does that, you don't get any of those nourishments from the vitamins.
So you eat the good foods and it doesn't work.
Exactly. It just passes right through you. Or the liver then has all these vitamins, enzymes, everything. It wasn't processed through the colon like it should be to go to the body, stays in the bloodstream, and the liver cannot process it. Hence, all my little chunkiness, all my little lumpiness, because the liver is and the cellulite, the kidneys and livers can't handle the waste that is being accrued, and so it dumps into your body all that cellulite and stuff that, like when I was getting soft, even though I was still working out and doing, my body was changing. It was just filling up with poison that my body could not eliminate.
And when you started to bring this to the doctors, I remember you saying that they said, it's your age. Get used to it, right?
Exactly. And kind of what you and I said once about the arms and thighs. Even by this time, it's like, well, it must be true. I'm just getting older. But they would say, your weight is great. You look great in your clothes. You're just getting older. You have to get used to it. It's menopause. You're getting older. And I'm thinking, I'm eating good, and I'm working out. And if I was good from 50 to 54, how can I fall apart at 55?
And the bottom line is you went to see Bernadette, which is one of our nutritionists. Like, a lot of the knowledge that we share with you is not, you know, first come, first serve out of our mouths. Like, this is what I say. I'm not a nutritionist. Terry's not a nutritionist. She has education at this point, probably, to be a nutritionist, you know, more than most nutritionists. Because actually, it's a nutritionist who puts that hospital food together. So how much are they really, or were they dealing with a low budget? I know they charge a hell of a lot of money to be in a hospital. You think the food would be just a little bit better. But, you know, that's my point, though. That's a nutritionist who laid out these food things. If there were, I don't know if anybody got to see Jamie's Food Revolution. What's Jamie's last name? You know, I'm talking about the English guy. Jamie Oliver, yeah, Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution. He went into the school system, and they make you have two sets of carbohydrates. So it was like French fries and bread, and like they had with every meal.
And so, French fries is a vegetable to them.
Right, and that's right.
And the bun, a vegetable, kind of,
right.
Yeah.
It was crazy, man, what they're feeding the kids. And I don't know if his show will be back next year, but I hope it will, because it really gave a keen eye into the public of what's really out there. And one of the biggest problems is people just don't know. And if they don't know, then they're not going to pay attention to it. You know, so even if they do hear things that they don't want to hear, like I know, like I was talking to this guy today about, you know, coming on from the radio show and being, you know, doing the program. And I told him I'd help him, but, you know, here's what you need to do. And he goes, God, I have such a problem with junk food. And I'm like, well, let me tell you what junk food really is. And then he's like, oh, my God, oh, my God. But I'll guarantee you he'll still walk in there and eat it. You know, because he's programmed. Until he breaks that program, until you decide you're going to stop smoking cigarettes, you know, people get addicted to junk food just as easy as cigarettes or alcohol or gambling or whatever. And you've got to break that pattern. And it takes that, you know, that mind of rebooting your brain. And you really, if you just fill yourself up with the knowledge, you know, three movies I always talk about them. Go see 30 Days, I guess, where the guy drank, where he ate McDonald's for 30 days. Watch that. Look what happened to him. It's real. Then watch Fast Food Nation with Bruce Willis. It's a good movie, but it really smartens you up to what you're actually really eating and what they do, because that's based on a book called Fast Food Nation. And the last thing is a movie is Food Inc. Then you really get to see, and you realize, oh my God, what can I eat? You know, how hard is it to find good food to eat? Because for me, you know, my massage therapist, Sandy, and here in L.A., we're talking about today how they're saying how we're going to live till we're in our late 80s or 90s in the next, you know, 15, 20 years because of all these drugs that they'll give you to preserve you. But when they're giving you those drugs to preserve you, if I'm going to be, like, crippled up in my 60s, and I got to live in my 70s crippled up and worse, and in my 80s crippled up even worse, and I'm going to live in my 90s? Like, please shoot me way back in when I got to my late 60s. But, you know, if I'm in a position where I could have taken care of my body, but I didn't. So that's why I try to get everyone to swing to our side of the tank to, you know, to try to figure it out, because you're going to feel better, you know, and that we've given you all the, you know, all the props and people here to help you do it. I believe Kelly came on the line. Are you on there, Kelly?
I'm here.
Hey,
hi, Kelly.
Hi. Hi, Kelly. How's it going?
Good, baby. So you got a question, or were you just coming in to listen?
I was just coming in just to you had asked me to call in because I had started the thing, the thread about how much is too much for the weight.
Right. So, okay. So first elaborate on that so people can know, because people who haven't, you know, seen that thread, what did you write on that?
Well, what I wrote on it is I had a few friends and just acquaintances that were kind of not so much giving me a hard time, but suggesting to me that I was going about things the wrong way because I was losing more than 1 to 2 pounds a week. In the last few weeks, I've lost 4 or 5 pounds a week or whatever. And I told them, I said, well, I'm exercising, I'm eating healthier, so I don't think it's a problem. I feel great. I'm good to go. But they were very insistent on saying, you know, well, you're going to kill yourself. You're gonna wait to come back. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Kelly, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Are these people who are, well, what would we consider the right weight for their height and size, or are they people who are overweight? Who are these people?
They're pretty much maybe 25 pounds tops overweight,
mm-hmm.
but for the most part, they're, you know, the proper weight for their age.
Okay. So then it comes, because sometimes people will say things to you to try to set you up to fail. I know that Arthur, when I look at Arthur, he lost 34 pounds the first month. There's nobody healthier to me than Arthur that's doing this, because I'm not as healthy as Arthur, who walked on canes for 15 years, because I can't do as many workouts in a day, complete blown out workouts, as he can do. And he's a vegetarian. But back in the day, when he was gaining all that weight, he was eating processed food. He was eating wheat. He was eating cow. But once he gave that up and became just a real vegetarian, that the kind you think they're all skinny, he lost a lot of weight, but he also exercised a lot. And I think it all depends on, you know, that's going to slow down. You're losing 4 or 5 pounds a week, that's going to slow down. In the beginning, it's much easier to lose weight, and you don't really need to worry about it, I don't think. Now, if you're not eating healthy, if you're starving yourself, that's a problem. If you're missing meals or whatever, that to me is a problem. But if you're getting into proper nutrition, like what would be an average day that you would eat right now? Why don't you give us your program? What would you eat?
An average day, I'd get up, I'd make kind of an omelet with a couple of eggs. I'd put some vegetables in there, like mushrooms, green peppers, spinach, onions, all that stuff. And I'd make a decent sized omelet, and I'd usually have a cup of soy milk or almond milk with that. And
mm-hmm.
then I'd have a cup or two of watermelon, or, you know, a banana and some cashews or some almonds for my break. And then for lunch, I'd have either like a shrimp stir fry with vegetables, or a salad with like a bunch of extra vegetables, tomatoes, and all that good stuff in it. And then snack in the afternoon, I'd probably go with another carrots or broccoli. I usually try to put one fruit in the morning and one vegetable in the afternoon. And then supper. I like my stir fries. So, yeah, usually some kind of chicken stir fry or sweet potatoes baked with some zucchini and chicken breast.
Now, believe me, doll, if you can keep losing 4 or 5 pounds a week or anywhere near eating like that and working
exactly.
out, you know, you're like – really fortunate. You've got a good metabolism going right now, and be prepared though for when it slows down, and that's when you have to, depending on what you want, amp it back up, you know, whether it's workouts or, you know, because I believe 8 times out of 10 calories in, calories out, you'll lose weight. The more you burn, the more, you know, the less you eat, that you're going to lose more weight. But that's not always true. especially if you've gone up and down with your weight, and I mean 50 to 100 pounds up and down. You get into your 40s or 50s, your hormones change. I mean, especially women when they're going through menopause, that right there is, I mean, not just emotions, but, you know, your hormones are all getting all screwed around. And, you know, it's the same thing when you're pregnant. You know, it's my buddy Booker T's wife, Charmelle's, she's pregnant. And he I'd seen him at an autograph sign, and he said, you know, man, I just got to go outside and say, I'm going to go for a drive, Char. Just to walk away from, the emotions that happen. But when you get older and you're not that place, Kelly, you're young, aren't you? How old are you?
I'm just 29. I just turned 29.
You're a baby. You know, grabbing this at the age you're grabbing it. You know, I mean, Stacy, you know, having that like you did lose it like a couple times, but that emotionally, are you doing your work? Have you been talking to Stace or Terry or whatever, and we're doing your work, your emotional work and all that as well?
Yeah, I'm definitely trying to do that as well. I've done some of that previously, and I guess I'm fortunate in the way that I've never yo-yoed. I just kind of went up and stayed there. So now I'm on the downward slope.
Well, that's where the yo-yo comes back, though. You know, it's like that's why you got to put the work in, and again comes back down to rebooting your brain, you know, and finding that happy medium. Like for me, the only reason I gave up wheat and dairy. And the only reason, because my brother for 10 years tried to get me to do it, not having any education, there was no such thing as gluten-free. There was none of that. And I didn't have any choices, but I didn't want any. I was like, screw it, I'm not doing that. But he kept telling me one of the reasons why you're so sore, why your body hurts you so much is because of, you know, all the gluten you take in. I said, I hardly even eat bread once in a while. He goes, start reading the labels of what you're eating. He goes, Those oats you have in the morning, he goes, they're full of gluten. I go, seriously? Because I used to have steel oats, like a big thing of them, every morning. Because for me, weight is holding on to weight. It's completely the opposite. Metabolism is really fast. But what I found now, because I use myself as a guinea pig, Angie made the most amazing carrot cake yesterday. And, I had two pieces of it. Now, I worked out hard. But I woke up, I was still lean. And if I eat too much of that, then it'll start to come on me too. But nothing like wheat. That rice stuff, it just, or tapioca or whatever the flour is. You know, it all changes stuff up. So in answer to your question, you know, I don't think, you know, I think your girlfriends are wrong. Maybe right for them. But, you know, one of the things you're preconditioned to learn, like I was saying to when, as we're kids, milk is good for you. Every superstar's got it on their lip. The wheat is the staff of life. I mean, you're programmed into that. I mean, I can remember hearing, don't lose more than 4 or 5 pounds a month. You're programmed, like, that's healthy. Well, okay. But what if you lose 20? You know, what if you lose 12 or 15 or 30? You're not going to do that again the next month unless you're at the, at the Biggest Loser Ranch, you know. Oh. You know, people don't have the wherewithal for that. One of the things that I'm working on right now is my own reality show, and it has to do with me coming into people's lives where one's a family, another's a disabled veteran, another's a woman who may have given up her life for her kids, and she's a single mom, you know, that, you know, was, you know, lost her way, and just helping, actually being there with them for 6 months. You know, Stacy and I, you know, I was around Terry, but Terry was doing her own thing. I was just giving a little, you know, nibbits of saying things, and she was just taking it and making it her own. You know, she had that ability to. Stacy, I've never even met. Arthur, I met once. You know, the people I work with and help with, you know, this is out me being in their lives. So I can't imagine if we were to, you know, put me in a Biggest Loser situation where people were really dialed in and focused in about really re-owning their lives. I think it'll be a really great show. So we're going out and pitching that. And that's one of my goals, you know, and to have it up and me doing it by April, and throwing it out there in the universe, you know. Okay. So what else? Anybody got anything else, or you want to wrap this up?
Well, actually, I've got a point for you that occurred to me. When you were talking about the importance of taping yourself and pictures and how Arthur was videotaping himself, one of the things that popped into my mind is not too long ago I finished reading your book, Positively Paige, and one of the things that you really hit on there was one of the keys for your success was taping yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny you say that. I didn't really think about that. The boys, meaning the wrestlers, we all call ourselves the boys. And the boys used to think I was like a mark for myself. Like, I was filming these matches to watch myself back on video. And that wasn't what it was about. It was like game films to me. And I'd watch and, you know, I might have had a TV match and I would hook it up to the TV truck and I might be out there thinking, oh, God, I blew that. Oh, man, that looks so bad. And then I would get caught. It's in the acting world, we call it being in your head. And you start focusing on what you did that was wrong, even though you don't know if it looked like it was wrong. Because you don't know what camera angle it was. And maybe you're just thinking, oh, my God, everyone's looking at me. Everyone's looking at me. Everyone's looking at me. Oh, my God, I look so bad. Like telling yourself all the wrong shit. So I purposely would film myself. So, and I know the spots I knew I so totally screwed up. And other parts where I thought, man, this is going to look great. And when I watched the films back, the stuff that I screwed up on, that I beat myself up on out there, didn't look so bad. Wow, that didn't look bad at all. And then I say, okay, this is going to look great. And I go, oh, my God, that looked like shit. I won't do that again. I thought that looked great. So you get back to look at yourself. And that's one of the reasons why Michael Gallianos is filming his workout. So you can see, and you're going to really see a difference as he, you know, being 5'4", 377 pounds, you're going to see a big difference from him. But I don't care if you want to lose 20 pounds. When you're first doing this workout, you're going to shake. You're going to fall down. Get back up again. I was working out with some of the greatest shape guys on the planet down there at the L.A. Boxing Gym Justin McCulley and RVD. And I look over, and RVD's mat is just soaked. I mean, soaking wet. And there's points and times where, you know, he was shaking, you know, and he's in an awesome shape. And Justin went in the safety zone like three times because I said, boys, check your ego at the door. And they did. And it was, you know, you're going to shake, you're going to rattle. So I think anybody starting out this workout, especially in the beginning, because you don't remember, you know, how you felt then unless you're watching it back. So I think that's a good point, Robert.
You know, also Dallas? I wanted to say something. Oh,
I'm sorry, Dallas.
Yes, Diane.
I think one of the things that if everybody would just remember one thing about themselves starting off in any program when they're wanting to get healthy, I think they should give themselves credit for wanting to do that. And I know we always worry about what people think about us. You know, you're walking down the street and we don't feel as good as we want to yet. And so you're always worried about what people think of you. And I think we need to stop and realize just the fact that we're taking the effort in doing a program, especially one like this, that you know you can accomplish a lot with, and not worry about it, and just be grateful that you've got even the health to do it. And look at what Arthur did and where he came from. And so it doesn't really matter what people think. It's just that we've got a team now of members that motivate us, and we can encourage each other not to worry about what people think about us. And I know that is the one thing in my life for a long time I worried about is what people thought of me. And now I'm to the point like you either like me for what I am or you're not. But regardless, I'm going to keep trying no matter what. I've fallen down many times trying to get where I want to be, and I know this is going to be the answer. And it's wonderful to have team members and a group like y'all. It's made all the difference in the world. So
I wanted to add something.
Go ahead.
What Kelly was saying and Diane just said, you know, what I decided to do just for my own sanity when I started this was really not tell very many people because, you know, it was my own private thing in the beginning, and I didn't want a lot of feedback and I didn't want a lot of comments from people. And I just it made it easier not having people put their two cents in all the time. You know, you don't have to tell everybody you know that you're doing this. It's going to come out eventually, but it's you don't have to tell the world.
Well, you know what? That's Stacy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is Diane again, and my girlfriend and I have decided to do the exact same thing. We aren't telling people what we're doing. We're still going to the gym for now, you know, but we are not telling people what we're doing because, you know, a lot of times they'll go, oh, now they're trying something else.
And some people are well-meaning and some people are not well-meaning, and you
right.
just don't need that energy, especially in the beginning.
Exactly.
No.
You know, I wanted to say something, too. The biggest regret that I have is, and especially on my journey, is not doing the recording of the stuff that I did.
Well, it would have been nice to have, kid, but you know what?
Yep.
You know, we got you here, and it's telling those stories to, you know, to people who are doing it now or coming in, and sometimes sometimes you'll click with somebody. The only reason I really realized that Arthur would do it, it's after that first discussion that we had before there was a Team YRG, it was the Team DDP, and I would, you know, whether I was talking to Terry, I was talking to Arthur, I was talking to Dylan, or I was talking to whoever it was, and having to go through all the stories back and forth. The first time I ever talked to him on the phone, he got done with that, and he must have gone right to YouTube. I didn't even know what YouTube was, but if you really want to see something that's pretty interesting, go back YouTube, look up YRG, and he doesn't even use the name Arthur. He uses like Sanji because he was a teacher and he didn't want to put his name out on the internet. So now his name's everywhere. By the way, his video is at 91,000 views right now. Considering we've never had a way to mark, you know, push it out there, just people looking at it and seeing it. But if you want to see an interesting video, and the reason why Arthur's video starts out with if you're going to tell people, if you're going to do something, you should tell people about it. So he goes the other way with it and lets people know. But he hasn't done a lot of different programs. He said to tell people about it makes you more accountable, and that's what he said on this video on February 5th. And he talks about, you know, and I also want you to, you know, want to know, maybe you'll come back once in a while and say, so how you doing with that YRG workout, you know, and maybe, you know, give me some inspiration to keep moving forward. And when I saw that, and then there was another video up there of him with the heart monitor on. Now, the guy can't stand up on his own, so he's leaning into the table as he's hooking up his heart monitor with this little shitty, crappy camera that he's got. And he puts the, you know, 83 is his heart rate. And all he does is two silent diamond cutters, you know, hulk it up. And his heart rate's like 137. And he's like, look at this. And he goes, and he explains it. I was like, oh, my God. So I called him up. I said, Arthur, you need to get, if you're going to film this, get yourself a video camera that you can see your workout. And if I was you, I would film this journey. But I didn't find out this until he'd already gone through almost a month and he'd lost the 34 pounds. So that's when you'll start to see him where he's using the chair and coming into it. And his son documented it all. So that's my advice to any of you out there listening. And we never put the radio to call up, but a bunch of you called in, so that's pretty cool.
I wanted to wish Terry a happy birthday a few days early.
Oh, oh. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad you said a few days early. I'm thinking, don't tell me I missed her birthday.
I think I would have told you.
You would have let me know if I would have missed it.
Probably somehow subtly or not.
Oh, I don't know how subtle it would have been.
Probably not.
Probably not. Well, we'll have to put that up there for everyone to know that it will be Terry's anniversary of what's his birthday coming up, Terry?
59. 59. 59.
So you'd be 12 months from 60.
Yeah, the 60s. You always wanted me to be like 60. Like, hurry up and get there. Thank you very much.
Hey, if it hurries you along, it hurries me along. You know?
Yeah, you're in that 55. That's right. No,
yeah.
It's all good. The 50s have been a crazy, crazy journey for me. Wow, so I can't imagine what the 60s are going to be like. Holy cow.
I think you're going to be fine.
No.
I think you're going to be fine. All right, listen, I want to thank everybody for coming on. I want to thank my special host with me tonight, Stacy, for coming up with our fears and risks category. I like that a lot. I thought that was great. And I want to thank Dougie for popping in here. And Diane, good to meet you. I'd heard about you from the Dougster. And it's good to finally connect with you here on YRG Radio. And and Kelly, thanks for popping in there and asking that question and keeping us all in tune. So anybody's listening to this, if you have any questions, go to the forum and put them up there. And I will start after I give the opening greeting. Not for this week. It won't be answered because this week coming up, like I said, is taped. And it is about we had a great group of people there together, and we talked about emotional gravity and how to keep yourself motivated. Because even I talk about some of my trials and tribulations that I've gone through, and where people would think, well, man, he's like impregnable, he's unstoppable. All right, I try to be the unstoppable 90% of the time, but the other 10%, I fall down just like everybody else, and that's just the way it is. So that'll be next Thursday's show that we'll have. And the following week, I'm not exactly positive. I'm going to promo it like he is, but I might make it the third week. But I'm thinking not April, but August 5th, RVD will be our Team YRG guy out there answering questions. And what we're going to talk about with him is living your dreams, and everybody's got them, and I don't care how big and little they are, and where he was when he thought of his, and how it came to be. And that right now he's a world champion again for TNA on Spike TV. So check him out, and check out the RVD man if you get a chance. If you've never watched wrestling before, the guy you're looking for is Rob Van Dam. If you go by there on Spike Network and look out for TNA Total Impact. I want to thank Robert for getting everything together today. Sorry we missed Rez. We'll have to get him back again when he has a phone that's not out in traffic, in a restaurant, or giving feedback. Again, thanks everybody for coming on and listening. And you were wonderful. You were marvelous. But see ya. Hit it, Robert.
You love me. You hate me. You'll never forget me. Get ready to feel the... No high five.